Okay, right. Let's talk about the UFC that's coming up this week. It's the heavyweights. I love the heavyweights. Here we go. It's going to be Derek Lewis taking on Curtis Blaydes in the main event. And obviously, I always make some terrible bets, and last week's bets were no exception. So the first thing that I am going to do is have a quick recap of those. So the one that I was most confident about, that I did a lot of research into, I had a look at his style, I thought it matched up really well. Ian Heinisch is just like, well, you made me look like a fucking prick, didn't you? Jesus Christ, Heinisch. Like, normally I always say that, like, these are terrible bets, but I genuinely thought that Heinisch could get that done, and he made me look like an absolute mug. So thank you for that, Ian Heinisch. I'm kidding. Like, it wasn't a very typical performance from Heinisch, if I'm honest. He looked kind of slow and labored, but I think it's because clearly in Spanish prisons, they don't teach you to let go of a Kimura when it's clearly not going to happen after the first kind of 20 seconds. They don't teach you to let that go, and they don't teach you to not blow your arms out. Spanish prison MMA clearly leaves a lot to be desired in that respect. But yeah, so I think Heinisch, he can perform a lot better than that. I've seen it, but let's be fair, you know, let's not take anything away from Kelvin Gastelum. Kelvin Gastelum just looked very good, and he managed to nullify Heinisch for, like, the whole fight. So, fair play, but that one was terrible. Kelleher, predictable. I even identified what the correct bet was, which was, you know, Ricky Simone by decision, and I didn't go for it. So, yeah, that was completely predictable. Enough said. Usman, I predicted the TKO victory, and thank God he came in. Good for you, Usman. The Nigerian nightmare puts one in the win column for old Bert. Kept me fighting, kept me swinging. But yeah, it wasn't an easy win by any means, because he did face some adversity in the first round. Gilbert Burns definitely looked good. He shouldn't have played that jiu-jitsu. He shouldn't have, like, rocked him and then immediately flopped to his back. And he was like, yeah, come on, bro. Come on. He gave Usman a chance to recover. I feel like if he'd have swarmed him more after he clipped him, he could have got the finish there, and he'd be champion of the world right now, but he didn't, and he's not. And now, Usman, he's getting less and less to be angry about, isn't he? Because I find it bizarre. He comes out in these, like, post-fight interviews. It's like, yeah, put some respect on my name. It's like, who isn't? Who isn't putting respect on your name, Kamaru? Everyone's consensus is that you're one of the best in the world, and you're one of the best to ever do it at welterweight. You're getting into that conversation. So I'd ask, who isn't respecting you at this point? Even Rogan looked perplexed. He was like, whoa, hang on a second. Who isn't putting respect on your name? I'm confused. I think that Usman, he needs to have these, like, fake arguments in his head. You know the kind. Come on now. Look, you've had them. I've had them. You have, like, these made-up arguments in your head of, like, when you're going to see somebody, and then you end up having just a reasonable conversation. It's like, yeah, that was all kind of nonsense. But I think he needs that kind of, that argument to get himself fired up. He needs to feel like he is the underdog and that he is not being respected, so that he can go out and perform. And if he needs that, then fair play. If it keeps on coming, like, resulting in performances like that, then power to him. Start the joy. I'll help you out, Kamaru. I don't respect you as a competitor. I think you are shit, mate. You are shit. You don't even deserve to be the champion. Fucking expect a great performance from Kamaru Usman next time now. I'd set a fire under his ass. But yeah, so in the news, it's not been a very strong news week, to be fair, because they're still umming and ahhing over the new tough season. It's not been confirmed who's actually going to be coaching on that one yet. I would hazard a guess it'll be Usman versus Masvidal. I mean, that would make sense, wouldn't it? Or, I mean, if they're not going to give it to Colby. But either way, one fight I do know is happening is Leon Edwards has got a replacement for his fight, and it is Bilal Muhammad. Bilal Muhammad fought last weekend, and he looked really good. Took a couple of calf kicks, but that was about it. And he looked really good. And I like Bilal Muhammad. He's a big proponent of not being a nice guy, kind of in the octagon, out of the octagon. to his opponents, because he's right. It's too pally-pally at the moment at lightweight. It's too like, oh yeah, I'm going to give you some hot sauce. Don't you worry, Dustin. I'm going to pull the proper 12 in the back for you. It's like, what the fuck is going on, guys? Why has it become such a fucking love fest? What, are you going to jerk each other off next? Jesus Christ. Stop being... I'm tired of these press conferences turning into fucking gay orgies. What is going on? I want to see some conflict, for God's sake. Bilal Muhammad agrees, like, not with all like the orgy stuff. I don't want to put words into his mouth. Oi, oi. But yeah, Leon Edwards against Bilal Muhammad, that should be a really good fight. And I feel like that's a better fight for Leon Edwards than maybe Khamzat Chimaev, because Khamzat Chimaev, whilst he's not kind of ranked and he's for me, he's still very much unproven, and people have pushed him far too far for someone who hasn't really proved himself against like the top tier athletes. Style wise, I don't think that's a great matchup for Edwards, because all he's going to be doing is stuffing takedowns for three rounds and or five rounds if it's the main event, and he's going to have to like, you know, keep the fight on the feet, because if he doesn't, then Chimaev's just going to kind of like grind out a decision victory, whereas Bilal Muhammad is going to stand up with Leon Edwards. I don't think that works out too well for Bilal, but we shall see. Leon Edwards is much better than people remember. He's on a hell of a tear. I think he probably finds a win there, and then he's right back into the title conversation, because I mean, he was offered a title fight before Gilbert Burns was, but he couldn't get the travel restrictions lifted in time to get a full camp in or do whatever. So yeah, that one will be interesting, and the results of it will be interesting. And speaking of the whole kind of nice guy situation at lightweight, Conor McGregor came out with his Mac Life thing saying, no more Mr. Nice Guy. It's just like, yeah, he's got this bloody picture of like, you've got the nice guy McGregor, like, who's like still in his kind of little test tube there, and he's coming out, and it's the bad guy version. The problem with this, Conor, is you've already come out as being the pally-pally bum boy with bloody Dustin Poirier, haven't you? You've already come out doing that. You've already come out hugging and being respectful. So everyone knows that it's all bullshit. That's the problem. Everyone knows that it is all bullshit. And if you come out now being like just really contentious and just being an absolute asshole, everyone knows it's completely put on. But it's the same like thing as like in pro wrestling, right? Because like pro wrestling, we all knew it was staged. Everyone knew it was staged from a long time ago. But there was always that air of credibility. That's why Brock Lesnar is so popular in pro wrestling, because there is a credibility to him that he is a bad motherfucker. Do you know what I mean? But the credibility needs to be there. So the fact that you're going to be coming out now and just being a complete asshole and just being like the old Conor McGregor that we used to see, like, no one's going to buy that anymore, because it's just like, well, hang on, the last fight you were just being all pally-pally and giving money to his charity and everything. So what's going on? You can't flip-flop at this point. And that's, yeah, I don't know. I think it was a wasted opportunity last time. But yeah, either way. Next up, Khabib's even started trolling. Khabib started to turn into the bad guy. This is from Asian Persuasion MMA. Really good site for MMA like news and stuff. Like, full-on recommend those guys. So Khabib started trolling, basically, because he's saying that Gaethje broke mentally, like, in their fight, which I think is probably a fair assessment. And also, he's saying that Ferguson was never an elite lightweight. And actually, you know what? I wouldn't argue with that either. Because if you look at the guy, because I picked both Gaethje and Charles Oliveira to beat Tony Ferguson, which shows that, you know, like I said, a broken clock is right once a day or twice a day. My mate even clarified that for me the other day. John even clarified that for me. Shout out John, right? John, who said, yeah, no, it is twice a day or once a day. I've forgotten. But either way, there's a saying about a clock and it being broken, and it's right every so often. So every so often, what I'm saying is I am right. But I feel like those were easier picks, because Ferguson, when you look at his resume, like, he hasn't really beaten that many, like, super, like, his best, he was at his peak when he fought RDA. He was at his absolute peak. And he's been on a steady decline since then. And he never really reached the tippy-tippy top. And so I don't think that is too bold of a statement to say that he was never an elite lightweight. Because whenever he comes up against the really kind of good lightweights, he gets unstuck pretty easily. So yeah, Khabib has started trolling, which I'm a big fan of. Also, speaking of Khabib, he's putting together his own MMA promotion, Eagle MMA, and apparently, this is a big apparently, because I mean, I haven't seen it confirmed by any credible news sources, but apparently he's trying to make Brock Lesnar versus Fedor Emelianenko in Eagle MMA, and I've got to tell you, I would watch that in a heartbeat, because I can't imagine what governing body is governing Eagle MMA, but I can imagine is it Russian? Probably. Like, get Brock and Fedor both back onto that special source, because I guarantee they were both fucking using. I know that everybody goes on about how Brock Lesnar was the only fucking steroid cheat in MMA. Fucking have a day off, mate. Number one, they're all doing it, and people keep on have this like kind of like fantasy that Fedor was 100% clean when he went on a 36 fight unbeaten streak in an organization that encouraged didn't have any drug testing, which they didn't, but they also encouraged people to take steroids because it was better to have these giant monsters fighting out. So he's fighting in an organization that encourages taking steroids, and he's from a country that has a statewide sponsored doping program for the Olympics. So, and you're telling me that he was that it's 100% certain that he was clean for his entire career? Yeah, not buying that. Not buying that at all. But I am into it. Get them both back on that juice and have them fight out. I think that Brock probably just, like, it's probably not going to be a very exciting fight, because I think Brock will probably just ground him for three rounds and just cruise to a decision. But we all know that Fedor has dynamite in them hands, so you just don't know. But then again, because people also go on saying that Brock hasn't got a chin, so it wouldn't even be a contest. It's like, yeah, Mark Hunt couldn't knock him out, could he? You know what I mean? Shane Carwin couldn't knock him out, could he? Like, people say, oh, but the referee should have stopped it. It's like, yeah, but he didn't though, did he? He didn't stop it. So if you're saying that Brock hasn't got a chin, what planet are you living on? He's taken shots from some of the heaviest hitters in the history of the sport, and he's kept on going. So yeah, just think before you speak. And this one is really strange, because I was checking the odds today, because they've actually brought the odds out on Stipe Miocic versus Ngannou 2. And Stipe has opened up as a betting underdog, which I think is just bizarre, because Stipe beat Ngannou last time. He beat the fuck out of him. Do you know what I mean? What? And I don't see any evidence that Ngannou has addressed any of the problems that caused him to come unstuck against Stipe. Do you know what I mean? All he's done is gone out and just, like, marauded people, which is impressive, because don't get me wrong, Ngannou, if he lands on you, there's a good chance you're going to sleep. He's got one of the biggest punches in the history of MMA, and you know, and it's fun, it's great to watch, but I don't see him beating Stipe. So for him to open as a betting underdog, where's the respect? Kamaru Usman talks about not getting any respect. What about poor old Stipe? Jesus Christ, what has the man got to do? You know what I mean? So yeah, That's most of the news this week. Troll of the week this week is actually going back to a bit of the news. Couple of bits of news, actually. The first one is, I think that the Brock versus Fedor thing might well be a troll, and it might well have gotten me hook, line, and sinker. But what can you do? Like, I'm a positive guy. I'm a fantasist. I like to believe in things, you know, whether it be Bigfoot, UFOs, or the possibility of Brock Lesnar versus Fedor Emelianenko. I want to believe. Do you know what I mean? The truth is out there. I want to believe in that shit. So I'm gonna go ahead and say that it's probably a troll, but I hope it isn't. And Stipe, this one, it actually relates to back to what I was saying. Like, you know, it's got a picture of the Joker. Great film, by the way. If you haven't seen it, you should definitely go and watch it. It's just got kind of the Joker, Joaquin Phoenix there, like looking really kind of confused. And it's just like, you know, and the guy on the left is the director, I presume. He's, you know, that's Usman, and he's explaining and complaining about how. Nobody respects him, and kind of like, you know, Stipe is just looking at him like just confused. It's just like, yeah, shit, man. What, you want to talk to me about not getting any respect? I've just opened up as the betting underdog over a guy that I've already beaten handily. You know what I mean? That's, oh, that is madness. So And the next troll of the week is, you know, the film Step Brothers. Boom. Because obviously, this is Darren Till and Mike Perry's faces put onto the poster of Step Brothers, which I think is hilarious because they keep on having this massive back and forth and it's entertaining as fuck. If you want to see some really entertaining Twitter action and Instagram stuff, just like follow both like Darren Till and Mike Perry and like look at the back and forth that they've got because Darren Till loves trolling him and it's so funny. Do yourself a favor, follow those two on Twitter and just like have a look at their back and forth. And so let's now just have a look at the fights this week. There are some good bets to have this week. The first one that I've put on, right, is basically, rather than going for the results, I'm going for the over-under. I'm basically betting on the three heavyweight fights on this card. Three heavyweight fights are on this card. You've got Tom Aspinall versus Arlovski, Chris Dukos against Alexei Oleinik, and obviously the main event, Curtis Blaydes against Derek Lewis. And I just think, in fact, you know what? I will go back to that bet in a second, because I'll go into each of them individually first. But yeah, so the first one that I will look at is Tom Aspinall against Andrei Arlovski. Now, Tom Aspinall, he is this absolute smashing machine from the UK. 6'6", he's a fucking huge guy. And he has just been smashing all of his opponents by knockout round one. Like, Jane, just pretty much everybody. And he is a heavy, heavy hitter. Big fan of his because I am a patriot at heart and I want to see an English heavyweight UFC champion. That would be fantastic. So I am full on all in on Tom Aspinall at this point. And so are the bookies. So basically, there's a... obviously, he's coming in as a heavy favourite. Rightfully so. And Arlovski is coming in as the underdog. Which, I mean, Arlovski, he's a crafty veteran. He has had a few wins kind of recently. He's not completely out of it. He's on a two-fight winning streak. He beat Tanner Bosa and Philip Lins, both by decision. And he beat Junior Albini, who back in the day, in 2017, when Albini was supposed to be the next big thing. So he does have a habit of actually stopping these hype trains before they even get going. Not in a spectacular fashion, but he does get his hand raised. I don't think that's happening here. I think that it's going to be Tom Aspinall by TKO or KO stoppage. And I think that round two is the round that he gets it done in. So that is my pick. I think that it's going to go slightly longer than his other fights because I don't think that Arlovski is going to go out there and try and blitz him because I think that Aspinall was on the Michael Bisping podcast and he even said, he's like, I don't think that that Arlovski is necessarily going to come and try and blitz me because I think he'd be a fool to do it and he would get starched early. But I think that Arlovski is going to take his time, but he's going to have to try and engage eventually. And I think when he does, it's going to be a knockout for Tom Aspinall. But I am going to go for the round two because that is 6.5, about 5.5 to 1 in old money. Yeah, I'm having a little cheeky go on that. So the other heavyweight fight on this card that I am bang into is Chris Daukaus against Alexei Oleinik. Now, there's a great amount of controversy on this fight in how you spell Oleinik because the Sky Sports are spelling it O-L-E-I-N-I-K and, you know, Tapology and all those spell it with a Y, O-L-E-Y-N-I-K. So, I mean, I have no idea. But it's Oleinik or something like that. Either way, he's the boa constrictor. He loves choking people out. And he's bloody good at it as well. But he's coming in as quite an underdog in this one. Now, I'm not 100% sure why. Because Chris Daukaus, whilst he has been like knocking people out, he's fought kind of nobodies, really. And Alexei Oleinik, he is kind of durable. Now, this one, I think, like I said, in that last fight, I just want to make a note. In the last fight, Tom Aspinall, Arlovski, I don't think that's going for more than 1.5 rounds. So that's reflected in another bet that I'll get to in a little bit. But this one, I think it goes for over 1.5 rounds. Because Oleinik, he's pretty durable. I think he gets the submission. I think he does find it. That's 3.50, just the submission on its own. But I do think it's possibly going to be a late round two submission, which is 11s right there. So yeah, I'm having a cheeky little go on that. That was, yeah, that's perfect. Yeah, 11s for the round two submission, Alexei Oleinik. But my basic pick on that one is Oleinik to win. And if I was going to pick a method, it's obviously going to be submission on that one. So you should bet the house on Chris Daukaus by finish, because like basically usually what happens is the opposite of what I pick happens, because these are terrible bets. I just do not place these bets. You're a fucking mug if you do. But yeah, let's have a look at the main event. The main event, Curtis Blaydes against Derek Lewis. This one should be really fun. I mean, Derek Lewis opening as a huge underdog, biggest underdog on the card as far as I can see. And rightfully so, I think, because I don't see it going any other way than Curtis Blaydes by just kind of complete domination. I think that Curtis Blaydes possibly could sneak in a submission here, a late submission. I think that over five rounds, Curtis Blaydes can finish most people, because it's his relentless style. His relentless start, he will just keep grabbing you and taking you down to a knee and taking you down again. And he just locks his hands and just keeps dragging you back down to the floor. I think that Lewis will get up, because everyone keeps pointing this out. Lewis is very good at getting back to his feet and just exploding out and getting to his feet. But I think that's going to be just him getting to his feet and getting dragged back down again, because Curtis Blaydes is just relentless with his takedowns. It's why he's got 59 takedowns and 59 minutes of top control. Someone was arguing this the other day. Well, not arguing, just, you know, having a civil discussion, that obviously doesn't that mean that his top game is terrible? I was like, well, it's those numbers are deceptive, because the way he loves to wrestle, to fight, is like, look at him against Mark Hunt. He was suplexing him all over the place, but he was just letting him back up and suplexing him again. And he was doing that just because he's conditioned to do that. He can do that all day, and his opponents are not conditioned to take that. So that's what he likes to do. And I think that over five rounds, I think that he finishes most people. And I see this one finishing in the fourth round by submission, which is 51 plus 51, so about 50-1 for Curtis Blaydes submission in round number four. That is a terrible bet, but it is one that I am very much in favor of placing. And yeah, that is what I'm going for. And the best part is the treble on those three. So the Tom Aspinall by knockout stoppage round two, Alexei Oleinik by submission round two, and Curtis Blaydes by submission round number four is 3,645.50-1. Boom. Terrible bet. I'm having a go on that all day. Yeah. Hit place on that. Lovely stuff. And so yeah, just a quick, so obviously I believe that the main event is going to go over 3.5 rounds. So yeah, this is, so my other little terrible bet here, I've just been going on the over-unders. So, as I mentioned, Tom Aspinall, I thought the Andrei Arlovski, Tom Aspinall, under 1.5 rounds. That's 2.20 on its own, right? And then you've got the over 1.5 rounds on Daukaus versus Oleinik, which I think that it's a later round submission for Oleinik in that one. So I think it goes over the 1.5, which is 2.38 on its own. And then you've got the over 3.5 on the main event, which is Blaydes, obviously, and Lewis. And that is 3 on its own, just so, like, you know, 2-1, just there or thereabouts. But all together, when you put them together, it's like, it's like 3, yeah. Basically, yeah, I put £2 on that. So it's like 15.68. So 14.68-1, effectively, for all those. And I don't think that is all that terrible. I mean, I'm not going to say place that bet, because I think that actually, if you're never going to get rich by betting on mixed martial arts, guys, because it's just too fucking, the only way you make money gambling is if you have a huge amount of money and you just bet on the favorite every single time, and you have enough, you make enough from those wins to cut your losses when the favorite doesn't come in. But that's not fun. I bet for fun. It's a fun thing to do, and this is a fun bet because you're betting on the rounds. So even if, so yeah, it's it. I think that those are the most likely kind of rounds. But hey, Joe, it's mixed martial arts. It's unpredictable as fuck. And I'm going to enjoy the hell out of this card because it's heavyweights all over the place. More heavyweights than you can shake a stick at. And look, if you enjoy this content, if you like what I'm doing, just please give me a like and give me a subscribe. But until next week, keep those odds long and those bets terrible.